let the children come. Don't dare drive them away. And then the kingdom comes. Hear the holy, foolish things they say. The springtime of their life decides the adults they'll become. So let the children come. Please let the children come.
Welcome to Children's Bible Journey, with stories and songs just for kids. We have a dramatized Bible story coming up, but let's get today's program started by singing praises to our awesome God.
Jesus sure makes your heart feel happy. We'll do some more singing in a few minutes. Now let's get back to our continuing Bible story from the Bible in Living Sound.
Where were you last evening, Judas? We looked everywhere for you.
Where was I? Well, let's see, Oh, yes, I was talking to some friends. Which reminds me, I promised I'd come again today. Perhaps I'd better go right now.
Business?
No. Well, in a way, yes. Well, mostly, though, just a friendly chat.
Don't be late to the Paschal Supper. We're going to eat it with the Master, alone, as usual.
I'll be back in plenty of time. You won't give more than 30 pieces of silver?
Of course not. And you agreed on 30 pieces.
30 pieces it is. When and where do you wish him betrayed?
Late at night, so the people will all be asleep.
And he always retires in the Garden of Gethsemane after the Passover supper.
Oh, you know exactly where?
Exactly.
Here, then, is the plan. We will meet you, and you can lead us to your master. Oh, but in the darkness of night, how will we know which one is your master?
I will kiss him.
Betrayed by one of his own disciples. With a kiss. For only 30 pieces of silver.
Be careful how you talk. Will you be there in person?
We'll all be there. None of us would miss it.
Yes, the chief priest himself and all the dignitaries of the temple lower themselves to watch an unlettered man, a man born of poor parents, not so much as a farthing to his name. Such powerful and proud people going out in the middle of the night to see such a nobody captured and beaten, huh?
I guess the supper is about prepared. All we have to do is wait until the master appears.
I don't know if I want to eat this Passover supper or not.
Why, Judas, such a thing to say. Shame be unto thee.
It is not because of the master. Rather, it's James and John.
James and John, what have they done?
What have they done? They demanded to be first and second in the master's kingdom. Why should they be first and second? What have they done to merit such honor? I should be on the right hand of Christ in his kingdom. After all, I am the treasurer and a businessman. I would make the best prime minister. I admit it, and so must you, if you're honest.
Well, I think the master will choose his own officers, and I'm sure he'll choose me as his highest.
Why, you, Matthew, I am the best suited for the position.
The master. The Passover supper is ready, master.
Let us be seated.
Right. Here, light us here. Get this chair. I can't.
Oh, look. Judas managed to sit on the master's left.
Yes, and John's on the right.
Why doesn't someone say something? Even the master saith nothing. He appears to be watching us and waiting for something.
I think I know. At a feast, a servant always washes the dust off the feet of the guests. There are no servants here.
Well, who will wash our feet then?
Not me. I will not lower myself to the place of a servant.
Nor I. The others apparently feel the same way.
We're not servants.
Wait, Jesus. See him? He arises and, laying aside his outer garment, takes a towel and girds himself with it.
Judas, I would wash thy feet first.
Wash my feet, Master?
Yes, Judas.
He's washing my feet like a common servant. And I've bargained to betray him. Oh, how I wish I hadn't. Jesus loves me, even me. He loves everyone. And I'm going to betray him with a kiss. No, I won't. But I bargained to do it. And I will. Lowering himself to the washing of feet as a lowly servant. Kings don't do that. He will never occupy David's throne, so what have I to lose? Nothing. I will betray him as I promised to do. With a kiss.
Peter, that ever-loving, quick-to-act disciple, watched his master washing the feet of his fellow disciples. Christ's condescension broke his heart. He was filled with shame to think that one of the disciples was not performing this service. He could not bear to see his Lord, whom he believed to be the Son of God, acting the part of a servant. His whole soul rose up against this humiliation.
Peter, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter.
Thou shalt never wash my feet.
If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me.
O Lord, I cannot endure the thought of separation from thee. Not my feet only, Lord, but also my hands and my head.
If I wash thy feet, thou art indeed clean. John, thou art last.
Oh, I am not worthy for thee, Master, to wash my feet.
Thou art not offended at being last?
Oh, no, Lord. Before I would have been, but tonight, Lord, thou hast washed away all my selfishness and hatred. Now, my Lord, I've become humble of heart and teachable. I'm sure all of us have in our hearts tonight only love, one for the other.
After Jesus finishes washing the disciples' feet, he takes his garments and sits down again. Then he says unto them,
Know ye what I have done to you? Ye call me Master and Lord, and ye say, Well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example, that ye should do as I have done. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither is he that is sent greater than he that sent him.
We'll continue the Bible story tomorrow. And if you would like to have these stories to listen to at home, you can call the Bible in Living Sound at 1-800-634-0234. That's 1-800-634-0234. Now here's some more music before we have to say goodbye.
How's your lemonade?
Oh, terrific.
Yes, this is the life. A warm spring evening, sitting on the porch, hanging out with my beautiful granddaughter, Mariam.
Oh, Grandma, I'm not beautiful. I look like a sheep.
A sheep? Who told you that?
Alexei Parrish, a guy at school.
Oh, yes, Alexei. Didn't you once say he dyed his hair green?
That's him.
Then you would certainly want to value his opinion on what's beautiful and what's not.
I see what you mean. But I wish I looked different.
What would you change?
Oh, my nose, my ears, my eyes. Basically everything from the hair down.
Let me ask you a question, Mariam. All those movie stars you see in the magazines, do you like the way they look?
Sure, they're beautiful.
Then why are they always having painful and expensive operations to change the way they look? Why are they spending thousands and thousands of dollars to shorten their noses, lengthen their chins, tuck their tummies, stretch their necks, or fatten their lips? If they're so beautiful, why do they keep trying to change?
That doesn't make much sense.
What makes sense is to just sit back and be satisfied with the way God made you. Stay healthy and strong, but try to look like a movie star? That's just silly, because they don't even like the way they look. By the way, I happen to know why they go through all those operations.
You do?
Yes. Every one of them wants to look like my granddaughter, Mariam.
Oh, Grandma.
Jesus wants to be our friend. He has placed in our hearts a desire to share our deepest secrets and brightest hopes with Him. This program was brought to you by the Children's Ministries Department of the General Conference of Seventh-day Adventists.
Do you know what one of my favorite parts about the Bible is? The stories. I remember one story about a big giant and a little boy named David. Feel free to sing along with us as we sing about only a boy named David.
Only a boy named David, only a little sling.
Only a boy named David, but he could pray and sing.
Only a boy named David, only a rippling brook.
Only a boy named David, but five little stones he took.
And one little stone went in the sling, and the sling went round and round. And one little stone went in the sling, and the sling went round and round.
Went round and 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 round.
And one little stone went up in the air,
and the giant came tumbling down.
And the giant came tumbling down.
And the giant came tumbling down, came tumbling down.
Only a boy named David, only a little sling. Only a boy named David, but he could pray and sing. Only a boy named David, only a little brook. Only a boy named David,
but five little stones he took. And one little stone went in the sling, and the sling went round and round. And one little stone went in the sling, and the sling went round and round. And round and round and round and round and round and round and round. And one little stone went up in the air,
and the giant came tumbling.
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 Tumbling, 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 tumbling,
I will always love.
like an empty heart where God has no part. It's true. When he fills your life, you're a lantern bright. They can see his spirit shine in you. Let your light so shine that all might see and glorify the Father. Let your light so shine that all might see and glorify the Lord. That all might see and glorify the Lord.
Boys and girls, this is Ms. Kathy. I'm so happy you've joined me today for another story just for you. Today's story is Gina's Gift Garden. Gina had come to spend the summer with her grandmother. One day, while they were working in the garden, Gina saw one of grandmother's neighbors in his field next to grandmother's place. "Hello, Mr. Richards," Gina called and waved. "Oh, Grandmother, you have so many nice neighbors and friends," Gina said, turning to Grandmother. Grandmother smiled at Gina. "I am glad you like all my friends. I know they like you, too." For a while, Gina pulled weeds quietly with Grandmother. Then she stopped. "Grandmother," she said suddenly, "you know what I would like to do?" "No, I don't, honey," Grandmother answered. "I would like to give all my new friends a gift," Gina said. "But that would take a lot of money, and I have only 50 cents in my bank." "It would take a lot of money, Gina, if you bought gifts," Grandmother agreed, "but you can give gifts without spending very much money." Gina was so surprised that her blue eyes opened wide. "How can I do that, Grandmother? Oh, please tell me." "I will." Grandmother pointed to one corner of the garden. "See that part of the garden where no green plants are growing? That used to be a flower garden, but last summer I wasn't well enough to grow flowers. This year I have been thinking about planting it again, but so far I haven't gotten around to it." Grandmother paused and put her arm around Gina. "How would you like to grow your gifts for your friends?" "You mean grow flowers?" Gina exclaimed. Grandmother nodded. "I have some flower seeds, and you can buy some more. It doesn't cost much to grow flowers." Gina gave Grandmother a big, big hug. Then she said, "Let's start planting right away." Grandmother and Gina worked nearly every day in their garden. Gina liked to look at the different flower plants and try to guess their names. "Is this a zinnia?" she would ask Grandmother, and Grandmother would tell her whether it was or not. Soon Gina knew which plants were the marigolds and which were poppies and zinnias and petunias. The plants grew big and tall. Then they got little buds on them. "You will soon have flowers," Grandmother said. "The buds are the baby blossoms." One bright morning, Gina saw her first flower. A huge, bright pink zinnia was blooming next to the fence. She ran in to tell Grandmother, "A zinnia has bloomed. Whom can I give it to?" "I don't know, dear," Grandmother answered. "Don't you think you should wait until you have enough blooms for a bouquet before you give any of your flowers away?" But Gina shook her head. She suddenly knew who she wanted to have her first flower. She borrowed Grandmother's scissors and went to the garden. In a minute, she was back. She brought the bright zinnia and held it out to Grandmother. "This is for you," she said. "I want you to have the first flower, Grandmother, because you helped me grow my gift garden." Grandmother was very happy with her zinnia. She put it in a vase of water and set the vase in the picture window. "Everyone who passes the house can see and enjoy it too," she told Gina. Soon Gina had lots of flowers in her garden. She gave bouquets to all her friends and took one every Sabbath to Sabbath school. One day, however, she looked thoughtful as she watched Grandmother gather a big bouquet for her. "I wish I could take someone a very special bouquet," she said suddenly. "Who is that?" asked Grandmother. "I'm sure we can give flowers to anyone you want to have them. There certainly are enough in your garden." "I want to give a big bouquet to Jesus," answered Gina. Grandmother put down the flower she had in her hand and caught Gina in her arms. "Honey," she said softly, "you have given Jesus many bouquets. In fact, your whole flower garden belongs to Jesus because you have made so many people happy by giving them flowers from it. When we make others happy by doing something for them, it is just the same as if we were making Jesus happy." Gina smiled. "I'm glad I can give my garden to Jesus. because I want to give him a gift most of all.
The story you've heard today was first published as part of the Vacation Bible School program in the book God's World by the Review and Herald Publishing Association and the General Conference Sabbath School Department. If you are interested in any other products published by the Seventh-day Adventist Church, please visit AdventistBookCenter.com or call 1-800-765-6955.
Children's Bible Journey was brought to you by 3ABN Australia Radio and is a production of Life Talk Radio at lifetalk.net.